Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today. For the next few weeks, at least, we're just going to be in the book of Colossians, and we're just going to go through it. And this is something a little different. Just in context, everything, you know, you read chapters in a book, in a normal book, and you see what everything, what all is to be said there. And we're going to just do that with the book of Colossians. We're not going to delve down into to super nitty-gritty details and take a real long time, but I just thought to go through and read things in context. This is a letter to a certain church, and you know what? It's a letter to us. We're the body of Christ, and it applies to us. And just to see, Paul is just speaking, and just to see all these, we pulled many scriptures out of here before, but just to read it in context. And I don't know how far we'll get today. We'll see, maybe around the first chapter, but we're just going to take the time we need and go through it and just draw some things out of it. I really like the book of Colossians, and it's one of my favorite books. All right, so if you want to turn to the book of Colossians, if you're not already there, and then as we're doing this the next several weeks, you know, if you just want to read Colossians at home, just get familiar with it a little bit. It's not very long. In my book, it's only 3 pages total. So, and I don't know. We'll see how it ends up at the end. If there's questions that pop up while we're reading, I mean, we're not going to, this is just something different we're doing right now. This doesn't mean we're going to do this all the time. This is a little bit different. But if there's something at the end, there's a question or whatever, maybe we'll take some time just to talk a little bit or whatever. But we'll just see how things go. Let's just let the Holy Spirit guide us. So verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty typical opening if you read Paul's letters. It says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, the expectation. Whenever you see hope, it helps a lot of times. You know, sometimes we say, we use hope kind of like wish. Like, oh, well, I sure hope so. I sure hope something happens. And really, it really helps me if you just replace that with expect, an expectation. I expect something. And it really helps in the Bible because you can see what's really being talked about, because it's never really wish. It's, you know, because of the hope, because of the expectation which is laid up for you in heaven, something in the future that you're looking towards. And he says, because of the hope for you, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So it said, you know, in those few verses, he's saying, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith, since you heard that of the hope that's in Jesus, since you became Christians, basically. He's saying, since this, you heard of the hope that has gone through all the world and is being preached, you heard it, you believed it, you became Christians, you believed on Jesus. And so, you know, like he said in verse 6, which has come to you, as it has in all the world, this word, which the word of the truth of the gospel, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Since you heard the grace of God, since you heard what Jesus has really done on the cross and you believed it, we've been praying for you. As you also learned from Epaphras, who evidently has taught them, who's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So it's just kind of an intro saying, you know, greetings to you, and we've been praying for you ever since we heard that you had believed on Jesus. And then in verse 9, now these are really powerful. These are some of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. This is really powerful, the things he says here. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, since the day we heard about you, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, we've covered these verses before. We're going to go into a little bit, but there's so much here. You could spend just weeks on just, you know, the next 5, 6, 7 verses. And this is a good prayer. If you need to pray for somebody, this is a good thing that you're praying right in line with what Paul said that he was praying for these people. And if you need to pray, you know, for yourself, these are good scriptures to pray for yourself. I mean, listen to these words. He says, we don't need cease to pray for you that what? And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Have you ever needed wisdom in your life? Have you ever needed direction in your life? That you can pray that God, we've talked about wisdom, that, or somebody else, you know, they need the wisdom of God. You know they need the wisdom of God. That you can pray for them, that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will. His will, because His will is what's going to bring us over. Not just some, you know, that they would know what to do, but they would know what to do in His will. And His will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what he's praying for these people, that you would know, that you'd be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and all in spiritual understanding. You would see things from a spiritual perspective, that you would have God's viewpoint on things, that you would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Man, I tell you what, if you're walking around filled with the knowledge of the will of God, you know, other people might think you're crazy, but if you walk around and you're assured that you're walking in the will of God, that's powerful. If you know that God Almighty, who we just got done talking about, that we've been worshiping, and that he's listening to us right now, he sees us, he knows what the circumstances are in every one of our life, that you have His will in your life, that you know what His will is. Not that it's not bad to seek men's counsel, but from men's counsel that God highlights things that are His will. You know, I'm talking to one of you in this world, and you say something, and it just resonates with me. The Spirit of God quickens it. That's something. Maybe I'm asking somebody for advice, and they say something. Half of it doesn't really resonate with me, but one thing they say just goes off. It's like, no, that's something I need to pick up. God leads us that way, and then you can know you have His will. You know, people are wondering what to do in all these circumstances that we have in the world right now. Well, God has answers. And if we, for our own life, people, you know, can be wringing their hands and saying, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this in our life? What are we going to do about our children? We can go to Him, and we have His will. In all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding. People are searching for that. Life is getting more and more tumultuous right now. People are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. But to walk in life and you to be assured that you have the Word of God on the subject, that you know for your life, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You know, you don't know what the future holds, but like the saying goes, you know who holds the future, and He's told you to do this and this and this in your life. Well, it doesn't matter what's happening, because if you've gotten what He told you to do, He's accounted for everything that's going to happen. You don't have to know what's going to happen 5 years from now. You don't have to know what's going to happen a year ago. If you'll just know what God tells you to do today, He knows what's going to happen a year from now. He knows what's going to happen 5 years from now. And what He tells you to do accounts for everything that's going to happen. You'll look like a genius if you follow God. Look like you had it all figured out. Did you have it all figured out? No, you didn't have it all figured out. He had it figured out. All you're doing is listening to the instructions. It's like you're walking down the street. You don't know where you're going, but you know, you have a GPS system on your phone. You have a GPS system. I was in Seattle. I was with a coworker. We got out of the airport. He pulled out his little portable GPS system, used a little suction cup, put it on the window, plugged in the coordinates, and started going. Well, does he know anything about Seattle? No. GPS system knows where to go, though, and he's just following the GPS system. Somebody didn't know he had the GPS system around. He's just, you know, this is the first time I'm here. They think he just knows his way around Seattle. He doesn't know his way around Seattle. He has a GPS system. Well, the Holy Spirit is our GPS system. His will knows. We can show up in this life. Have any of you ever been the age you are today, before today? Is this a trial run? I mean, is this your, like, fourth or fifth time through? You know what's going on now? Not a one of us knows what the heck is every, we don't know everything about our life, but God does. And so we can go through, and even though we've never been to this place before, if we'll get hooked up with Him and with His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, we'll know what to do. And people will go, man, how did you know to do that? I didn't know to do that. I just followed God. He knew what was coming. And you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's, you don't know what the, I mean, you have the box. See, we cheat. We have the box that we know, you know, it'd be really hard to put together a jigsaw puzzle if you didn't have the picture. But it's like that. If you look at one piece out of that puzzle, you have no clue what that, where, what, how that relates to anything. I mean, seriously, if you get up into the 5,000 piece puzzles, I can't really stand to put those together. Shelley likes them. To me, I don't relax when I do stuff like that. I just want to get it done. And when you have 1,000 pieces, 2,000 pieces sitting in front of you, that's a long time to feel like you have to get it done. And so Shelly will just relax and, oh, here's a piece, here a piece. And she's really good at them. But it's more stress to me. I don't know why than anything, because I just want it all in order. I want it done. And then you're done. What's the point of doing it? I mean, we just might as well buy the picture done. That's the way we are in life a lot of times. We don't know what the piece is that we're going through right now. We don't know where it fits. And we want to know. We want to know the end. We want to know what's going on at the end. God, how does this fit? Man, sometimes I think if God told us everything that we were going to experience in life, it would blow our minds. So He doesn't. He just tells us what we need to know. Just like the GPS system, if it told you every one of the instructions on down the line and you're on a 3-hour trip, you wouldn't remember them anyway. So don't worry about it. Just take the one He's telling you to do today. Don't worry about putting all the puzzle pieces together. Just worry about the one that you're working on. And if you do that, then you'll get it done. And people, not that everybody's looking at our life, but I'm saying you will look like, if you were to tell somebody what you did, that you look like you had it all figured out. But all of us know we don't have it all figured out, but God has it figured out. And that's why if we'll yield to Him, look to Him, that we can have His will, spiritual understanding, wisdom in this life. Be assured walking through life that we know, that even though we don't know all the details, that we know we're at the right place. That we can be at peace. Everybody's going around wringing their hands. The news is saying, you know, all kinds of stuff and doom and gloom. And nothing wrong with watching the news to figure out what's going on. But you just got to be careful when we're listening to people that don't have God. We have God. We can know the will of God. We can know the one that created everything. We can know what His will is for us. If we know what His, I mean, think about it. We take that for granted. He created the whole shebang. He knows what's going on. I don't care who you go to on this face, you know, on the face of this earth, whoever you respect as far as wisdom and guidance or advice, they don't hold a candle to the Creator, the one that knows everybody, knows everything, knows what's going to happen. And we can have His wisdom and know His will for our life. If we know His will, it's a whole lot better than knowing my will or know what my friend thinks that I should do. Because my friend could be wrong. Even if they're older than me. Even if they're an elder that says, well, in your situation, I should do this. What if my situation's different? See, God knows. That's what Paul's praying for these people here. That you would know, be filled with His will in all wisdom, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, and if you don't know what the will of God is, pray that. Just, God, I'm your child too. I'm just like these people. Show me God, and He'll show you. He's faithful. Like we sang about, He's faithful. He's not going to cut you out. You know, you're a child of God just like anybody else is. Just believe Him. Pray this. Just thank God that He is showing you. Thank Him. It doesn't look like, you know, that you're making the right decision. Just thank Him that He's showing you. And then we just go on down the path and we can be at peace. Thank God. These scriptures here are so loaded. So He says, to ask, we don't cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with wisdom, with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. One of the reasons is so you have your head on straight and you walk worthy of the God that has called you. So you don't run around, you know, looking and just going around like a dog chases his tail, or just going around looking like you don't know what's going on, that you have the wisdom of God, that you can walk worthy of him, that you have his wisdom, his perspective on things, so you don't put things that shouldn't be first in your life. That you have his perspective on things, so you do things wisely, so that you can walk worthy of him, that you don't chase something, some desire that isn't really something that's going to help you in life. That you can walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. Everything you do, that you're just fruitful in it. That you walk in the will of God and you have his wisdom, so you go to one thing and it works. And you go to another thing and it works. Yeah, things may look like they're not going to work out, or things may happen in your life that are challenges, but you know you have God. So in every situation, well, God, this happened. What do I do? You get his will. So you go and you have, you're fruitful in every good work. You're bearing fruit here, you're bearing fruit there. You just go and things go well. We can live like that. Because we are hooked up with the Creator, the Almighty. And this is what Paul's praying for these people. That you be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That we're constantly increasing. We're getting to know him better. We're getting to know him more. We trust him more today than we trusted him a year ago. That we know his character better today than we knew it 6 months ago. So we're increasing in the knowledge of God, that we're all coming closer to him. That when we leave here today, we're closer to him than we were last week. And tomorrow, we're closer to him. And it happens little by little. It doesn't have to happen in leaps and bounds. You don't have to lock yourself in a room and read the Bible for 4 hours and now you're really close to God. Most things in life happen incrementally. Have happened little bit at a time. You know, you can't see your child grow. You can't go out and watch the trees grow. Not most anyway. Bamboo grows really quick, I guess, when it starts to grow. Most things, you cannot see it grow. Probably even bamboo or whatever. You cannot see it grow. But if you look a little bit late, you know, a few days later, all of a sudden, hey, your child, you know, look at the pictures. We have an electronic LCD photo picture frame on our piano. And, you know, not too long ago when I loaded that thing, those pictures were brand new. You look at the picture, look at my children, same thing. It's only been a few months. I look at the picture, I look at my kid, they're different. I didn't see that happen. I didn't wake up one day and they look so much different than the day before, or 1 hour to the next. But over time, they're growing. It's happening slowly. We're all getting older. It's happening the same way. It's happening slowly. We don't, you know, usually come in unless we had a rough night or something, look like we're super old. It happens little by little. But you look at a picture from 5 years ago, no matter who, all of us in this room, and it looks different. Well, we're growing in the knowledge of God. We're growing. We understand those things in the natural. It doesn't happen like this. We're not just become super giants like this. We get to know God just like we got to know, you know, if we're married, we have a spouse, if we get to know our children, if we get to know a friend. That doesn't happen overnight. Over time, over experiences, we get to know them. God's a person. And we get to know him over time. And so that we're more confident in his character today than we were a year ago. The more we know of the Word of God, the more we know his real character, then we're not pushed off by lies. When you have a thought that, well, God, what if God won't come through in this situation? What if this would happen? What if? Is that really going to happen? And is what that thought is true to the character of God? Whenever you have some thought, ask, well, who said that? Where'd that come from? Because we'll have these thoughts and we'll entertain these thoughts that if we stopped and thought about it, it's really impugning the character of God. And you have these what-if scenarios. Well, what if this happened? What if my kid were to die in some situation and then, well, I'd be mad at God? Your child has not died and God would not be responsible for it, and it's not even a thing. But you'll get these what-if situations flash through your head that are total fiction. It's like, what if this were happened and this didn't happen, which would mean that would be that God was not faithful. You're just fabricating something. In any situation, God is faithful. In any situation, God is true. But we'll have these thoughts and we'll start playing it out in our mind and get irritated. Yeah, that wouldn't be right. We're following a complete fabrication. That'd be like if I said, well, what if you're, you know, what if something terrible in your happened life? What if your spouse just went out and cheated on you and did this and this and this? What if they don't? I mean, what if the person doesn't? What if that's not in their character? Yeah, if all this happened, maybe I would be irritated in this situation, but I know them and that's not their character. Why am I entertaining something that hasn't happened? And what if something happened and, you know, somebody just went off the deep end and went and did this and robbed a bank or whatever? Well, some ludicrous thing. Why do I have to even think about that? The more we know of God, the more we go down and get to know Him, we won't entertain that. We'll know Him and say, no, I know God. We'll just rule out that. It's something else here. Now, God, what do I do? And we go back and we get His will and His wisdom in a situation. We get to know God to where we are comfortable and confident in Him, just like we are our best friend or our spouse or somebody we know. But you know what? We get to know Him. It's like natural things. People want to shut. Sometimes you feel like you want to snap your fingers and we should think a certain way about God. Or we should have this type of relationship about God with God. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. As if you could snap your fingers and if you're not doing something, your relationship isn't where it's supposed to be. That now, because you heard somebody say it and tell you that's the way it's supposed to be, that by this time next week, everything will be different. Nothing in life works like that. Diets don't work like that. You know, exercise doesn't work like that. Your daily routine has been there for years, and it's the same thing with God. So if we're just honest and we start where we are and quit trying to jump and leap to where somebody is 15 years from now, if we keep doing that, we'll never get there. We'll never get to where we want. But if we just recognize where we are now and just realize that we, you know, just be honest with our relationship with God, be honest of our knowledge. If we have questions, be honest that they're there. Don't try to gloss over them because somebody said that means you don't have faith or something. Be honest of the questions we have and say, God, I'm really here. God knows you're there anyway. And we just be honest. And if we're reading the Bible so much time, be honest that that's what I can do right now. And when we feel like we're honest and God accepts us anyway where we're at, then we can get to the next step. But as long as we constantly feel condemned because we feel like we should be further and we feel like we should know God and, oh, I should pray more and I should read the Bible or I should treat my spouse this way or I should do this, you know, health-wise or, you know, I should read these, but whatever, we never will have the strength to get to where we need to be because we're constantly trying to make this leap and we don't have the strength to make the leap yet. But if we'll just do it, that'd be like, you know, trying to get your child to grow from where he is and jump to where he is going to be 2 years from now. You know what? If your child doesn't know how to do something at school, they don't try to cram it down his throat in a week, something that usually takes 2 years. They just tell him. You know, they take one letter at a time and get them to know that sound and that how to draw that letter, how to write that letter. Do it little by little. And you know what? It's easy. Little by little. Pretty soon, they know their alphabet. Pretty soon, they know their numbers. Pretty soon, they're doing calculus. But we don't try to get them to leap. Nobody in the natural would. You'd think they're a fool if they tried to teach a second, like we said before, a second grader calculus. It's not going to happen. But in the spiritual things, how many times do we do that? Somebody tells us we ought to have this certain relationship with God, and you're not spiritual unless you do this and this and this. That might be where they're at, but that might not be where I'm at. And if I'm honest, if I keep trying, now I have this certain routine and I have this understanding of God and I am told that I need to do all these things to go on and that I'm not really spiritual or that I'm not going to be successful or that my Christian life isn't what it's supposed to be if I'm not doing these things, then and I constantly just try to change everything and get there, I will constantly fail because I'm not going to be able to change everything in my life that fast. I don't have the understanding of God that was built up for years and years by somebody else. I have my understanding with God. I don't see the rationale why I should do certain things. And yet I'm trying to act like them when I'm not that person or I'm not like some image I have in my head of what a Christian should be or whatever. So I go on and I constantly fail. Instead of just saying, you know what? I'm in second grade. or I have a master's degree, or I have a PhD, whatever the relative, you know, illustration would be, this is where I'm at. Now, what should somebody at this level, where am I? What are the questions I have? Where do I really think God is? What am I, where's my relationship at? And just walk there and know God's pleased with you, because it was Jesus that made you pleasing, not you. And so right where you're at, you're pleasing to God, you're okay, he's happy with you, he doesn't think you should be all you are, you're not Jesus. Think about it. When you're 80, you're not going to be Jesus either. And hopefully you'll be a lot further than you are today, but you're not going to be God. And it's a lie of the devil to get us to constantly be dissatisfied where we are on the way to where we're going. Because I don't care how far you are, you're still not there yet. We're still not God, we're not perfect, and as we go, it's a process, and so we can be happy and content that God is using us and leading us and guiding us, and that we can know his will just as much as anybody else, and that he's leading us in our life to be better where we are. That he's going to show us what the next little step is in our life. That it's tailor-made to us so that we actually grow. But know that we're not satisfied with where we are, but we're content where we are. We're okay. We know we see that we have flaws. We see that we're not doing everything right. But that's why Jesus came. He came so that he made up the difference. Not that we're perfect where we are, but that he's perfect. So I can enjoy life while I'm growing. And I get further and I find something else and I learn more about him. And so my relationship goes up. But I'm no better than I was right before. But now I acknowledge I'm at this part and I just go with God, and now pretty soon I'm at this part. And we grow just like we see it all the time in the natural, things growing, children growing, human beings growing. It happens little by little. And like Paul said, we increase in the knowledge of God over time. All the while, all being at different levels, all being different places, all coming from a different set of circumstances, all our starting blocks were different places. None of us started with the same situation. Maybe some of our parents were Christians, maybe they weren't. Maybe we had certain things we had to overcome in our mind before we could even start going on with God. He knows that. It's not an he grades. He's grading on the curve of Jesus. Number one, none of us can make that. So we need Jesus to begin with, and past that, that's why we don't judge people. We don't know where they've come from. We don't know what the things they've had to go through. Sometimes we sell ourselves short. We think, oh, I should be like that person. When you had certain things that you had to overcome in your mind before you could even understand certain things, where another person started with a clean slate, didn't have that. They started, so now they're going further down the race. That's why Paul says it different, but don't compare. That's foolishness to compare. Don't look. Just look at Jesus. Just look at him. Let's just turn here. I think this is where we'll close today, but so he was saying, increasing in the knowledge of God, which is where we pretty much stop. Let me think for a moment where the scripture is. Okay, Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, he just got done in Hebrews 11, talking about all these people that did this and that and other thing by faith. And so he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people that went before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before the neighbor down the street. You know, or run before somebody else that's halfway across the world that we read their book. No, he said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I looked that up one time. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That looking unto Jesus means to have eyes for no one but Jesus. Look at him. Fix your eyes on him. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't judge people. Don't judge yourself. Just look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it. We can do nothing apart from him. He is our foundation. Look to him. Run our race. It's just like we're in the starting blocks. You know, the gun sounds and we start running straight towards Jesus. We look to him. We look to him to get us where we need to be. We look to him for his wisdom, his will, his direction, him changing the things that we need to change. He's the author and finisher. He is our foundation. And we let him, as we increase in the knowledge of him, our life changes. And we go down the years in our life running our race, nobody else's race, our race, the way God wants us to run it. We do what he wants us to do, fully assured that we're doing his will because he's our Father. He's leading us, guiding us, and we don't look to the sides. We don't get distracted. We just look to him. And as we look to him, we're content. We're not satisfied with everything. We know we're going to be better, but we're content that our Father is leading and guiding us, that Jesus is the reason we have a relationship, and we go on and just increase in him. We're growing. And then suddenly we find ourselves growing. Because we allow ourselves to grow. We give ourselves the ability to grow. We're not knocking ourselves down all the time like religion does, telling us we don't measure up yet. Well, we'll never measure up. If we look to our good works and ourselves, we'll never measure up. We have to look to Jesus first of all, and now we just run our race and say, God, you can use me. Flawed in everything, that's all you have to work with all over the earth. You can use me. And so we can just walk down this earth and be content. Even when we know a year from now, we'll look back and say, man, I was like that. And 5 years from now, wow. And I got by. 10 years from now, oh my goodness, look at the difference. But it's amazing. God used us that whole time. God was happy with us the whole time because he looks at Jesus to qualify us, which is what he's going to be talking about next. And we didn't get through very many verses. But Paul is just saying, we're praying for you. This is what we're praying for you. All the stuff we just said, that's all prayer. I mean, we can do that for ourselves. We pray that for ourselves. If we're just, God, I just thank you that you're showing me what I need to do, that you're helping me increase the knowledge, that you're getting me there. Lord, I know you'll give me things to do, but it's you. Jesus, I'm looking at you. Somebody else you know, I don't know that there's anybody that doesn't need prayer, can pray for them the same thing. Pray for our family the same way. Go on, just with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.